Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19-34. So I invite you, if you are able, to stand for the reading of the Gospel. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. What a week we have had. It is a week that I spent outside of community. I've been in Hempstead all week at a chaplaincy class to better my role as one of the co-chaplains for the Texas City Police Department. And it felt very strange to spend this week outside of this community. I mean, think about it. Tuesday, we remembered our own loss of St. John's building. And sharing those memories, I did enjoy seeing those memories on Facebook. Thank you for those who shared those. And then the day after, we remembered 9/11. And Friday, we saw another community church lose their church the same way we lost our own facility. Wow. What a crazy week we've had. And then we come into this scripture that tells us, don't be so obsessed about things. They fade away. You don't really have any control over them. Huh. If this week didn't tell us that, I don't know what week would tell us that. That we witnessed and remembered a lot of loss this week. In the weeks building up to this, as we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount, we are really getting the sense of what it means to live in the kingdom here now today. You heard today, and this has been our sermon series overall theme, you cannot serve two masters. This is where it boils down to that. We live in two worlds, a physical world and a spiritual world. And both are vying for your attention. Both are vying for your submission. Both are vying for your loyalty. Both are vying to have authority over your life. And Jesus, in his own way, through these examples, is asking you, which one are you going to submit to? You cannot be under authority of both. You cannot be under the authority of both, because you will love one and hate the other. You will love one and hate the other. You must choose which one you will submit to. So Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Whose kingdom come? God's. Not ours, not this world's, but God's kingdom come. At the end of this passage, we hear, once again, seek what first? The kingdom of God. And everything else will be added unto you. The kingdom of God. So as we go move forward, we have to ask ourselves every single day, who have I submitted to? Who did I seek out? What did I seek out? Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. So in this week, as we discovered loss after loss, or remembered loss after loss, and received a new one in our community, one that was near and dear to our own experience, I thought, what do we learn in loss? And I think about this church's journey and the loss that you experienced, and when St. John's caught on fire and many of you were in the parking lot watching with no control of what was happening. The lesson wasn't quite learned probably in that parking lot as much as it was in the journey as you move from place to place, like the children in the wilderness waiting to get into the promised land. But the most important lesson I think you learned was the church is not a building. The church is the people of God that is housed within the Spirit of God. The church is the kingdom of God. You go to a building, but you are the church. You learned that lesson, and you learned it really, really well. And it isn't a lesson learned without the receiving of loss. A lot of times our material things can get in the way of lessons learned. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to have a relationship with our stuff. I love talking to the kids to hear what's most important to them. Family, of course, all of us, I think family would be at the top of our list. But I loved the ones that said sentimental things. Eleanor said that she has a stuffed animal that she had since she was a baby, that she doesn't remember a time when she did not have the stuffed animal, which I think is awesome. I, too, at the age of 45, have one of those. It is old and dilapidated. It was made by my great-grandmother, and I still have it. It moves from house to house to us. I don't mess with it much because it is in the place now where it is falling apart, literally, at the seams. But I still have it, and it is one of my treasures. I think about these things that move with me from house to house that are my treasures. I remember this one time, I had this plate, and it was passed on to me when my mom's mom passed away. my maternal grandmother. And it was that image on the plate of the guardian angel, the one with the kids crossing the bridge. She loved that image, absolutely loved it. And we had just moved here, and I had placed that plate in the entryway somewhere. And somehow my mom and my stepdad were visiting. And I don't know how, but that plate fell to the floor somehow and busted. And when those things happen, for some reason, those material things connect us to those memories. For some reason, I had connected this plate with my grandmother, and it was that loss all over again. But in my grieving, I realized I had expressed my anguish in a way that hurt the people around me. They felt so bad about it. I don't even remember how it happened. My poor stepdad is apologizing profusely, you know. It's okay. You know, I had to step back and go, you know what? That plate's not my grandmother. It's just a material thing. It's just a thing. And I moved on, and I really haven't thought about that plate really until this week, when I'm thinking about those things that tie us to memories. You know what fuses a memory, those powerful memories? It's an emotion. Emotion. Those memories that we can step into, they're tied to emotion. And that's what that plate did for me. So things, we have a variety of different relationships with them. We also pursue things. We live in a day and age where we like to replace stuff, right? Like sometimes, especially many of us, we have phones, our electronics or whatever. We cannot wait till the new one comes out. And cellular services have now figured that out. You know, used to, you go in and go, give me last year's model, and you could walk out of there with last year's model dirt cheap. And you owned it. You own that bad boy. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. You can't go in there and do that anymore. They figured it out that you want, the bulk of us want the latest and greatest. So now you lease that phone. You go in and they tell you, you get the one you want, latest and greatest model. You come back in 2 years after, you know, after you've paid a little bit on this phone and it adds up for a couple of years, you bring us that phone back. What? I have to bring it back to you? And then we'll swap it out for the newest and greatest, because we know that's really what you want, right? And I'm like, that, to get my mind wrapped around that, because when I walk out of the store, I want to own it, right? I don't want to lease it. I don't want to have to bring it back to you. I've been paying on this bad boy. I've paid for it. It's mine. No, you bring it back. So we are now trapped in that, right? So now it's been 2 years and we're looking for, oh man, we're in this deal, we've been paying, we get to go back and get the latest and greatest model, right, in a couple of months. Woohoo! We live in a replaceable society. I hear it from my son all the time because he keeps up with the latest and greatest. In fact, they recently released the new iPhone that has come out, the 11, and he's like, look, Mom, look at all this cool stuff, because I think I want to go back to an iPhone. He's constantly harping on us about our televisions, because our televisions are what? How old do you think our televisions are? 10 years, maybe. I mean, but they're still flat screens, and they're still large. They're good enough for me. They show me a picture. Oh, no, we need to have the K something or other. K something, I don't know. 4K? You know, I'm like, our television's good enough, son. We can see the movie. No, I need to game on it. So that's what he got for his birthday, was a 4K smart television, right? Okay. Constantly looking to replace this stuff. When we have the need to replace things, it robs us of our contentment. It means we're not content. We're chasing after, right? We're in pursuit of, which is part of our inalienable rights, the pursuit of happiness. If we think this thing can make us happy, it's my inalienable right to do so. But the thing is, when we get trapped in this, It robs us of our contentment. Instead of being content, I would rather be content than be in pursuit of contentment. Again, we go back to that just being, right? The one thing that we don't really ever have to pursue is that relationship with God. It's one of those things that we just get to be in it. It's a gift to us. And we're told, seek first the kingdom of God. What gets us in troubles is our eyeballs. We fall in love with what we see, right? It's directly connected to our heart. It's also directly connected to our soul. In fact, the eyes are what? The window of the soul. Yeah. When we think about windows, I mean, we have a great example right here. We're in something, and it gives us the ability to look out. All right. The window of our soul. I mean, our soul's in there, and it's looking out into the world. It's filtering everything through our flesh. All right. And if we allow our flesh to make all the decisions, our soul gets in trouble. All right. Because what we see gets us in trouble. All right, here's an example. The oldest one in the book, literally. Eve and Adam are walking in the garden, and the scripture tells us she saw. A lot of times when the scripture says, and she saw, or he saw, perk up, because they're about to get in trouble. All right, we know the story of Adam and Eve. She saw, they desired it, and they what? They took it. Jacob later, this is one of my favorite stories of Jacob. Jacob was something else anyway, but he loved material things. He had a hunger for it. So it's interesting, the first time he sees the love of his life, Rachel, it's not what, he doesn't see her. She's shepherding her father's flocks, and they're large. She comes from a very wealthy family, and what he sees is her flocks. He saw her flocks. And guess what? He desired it, and he wanted it. And he got into all kinds of trouble for that, because his future father-in-law was very greedy too, right? I think the scripture doesn't tell you, but Jacob walks in and Laban sees a sucker. And in order for Jacob to get what he wants, he has to work twice as long as he thinks he's going to have to. All right. What we see leads to desire, leads to us taking, and it leads to us getting into trouble. And Jesus says, if your eyes are getting you in trouble, it would have been better for you to be blind, to keep you from doing that. Because when we get in the habit of pursuing and desiring and taking, it becomes this way of life for us when we fall into the life of pursuit. A lot of us get into the habit of pursuing wealth, pursuing career paths, pursuing nicer things. It is not the pursuit of, it's not wealth that's the problem. I want you to understand, when it says money is the root of all evil, money in and of itself is not. Money in and of itself, things in and of themselves, are amoral. They have no moral whatsoever. It's what you do with them. You're the one with character. You're the one that has to take these moral questions, these moral obligations for yourself. You're the one that has to deal with these amoral things with integrity. All right. Money is not evil. is the root of which lies within us of how we deal with it. All right. So the integrity and the responsibility of it falls squarely on our shoulders. And as those who live in the kingdom of God, what we do with the blessings that we have is going to look different than what the world does with it. Because we surrender our authority, our character, who we are, to God's kingdom, not to the world's. The world says, get all you can while you're able, so that you can live a life of luxury before you move on, right? But the kingdom of God says, this is what John Wesley says, make all you can, save all you can, which the world would agree with that. But the world would say, so you can accumulate all you can, so you can bless yourself. But when we live in the kingdom of God, it's so that you can give all you can away. All right, this is what John Wesley had a sermon on the use of money, and this is one of the things he says. The right use of money is of the utmost importance to the Christian, yet it is a subject given to too little attention. Wealth has often been regarded by poets and philosophers as a source of evil, and yet the fault lies not with money, but with those who use it. Indeed, money should be regarded as a gift of God for the benefits that it brings in ordering the affairs of civilization. Ordering the affairs of civilization, and he goes on, for doing good in the hands of God's children. Money is food for the hungry, clothing for the naked, and shelter for the stranger. With money, we can care for the widow and the fatherless, defend the oppressed, meet the need of those who are sick or in pain. What you have, how many of it feels like you own it? It belongs to you. You worked for it. Did you not work for it? The house in which you live in, the car in which you drive, the money you have in the bank, did you work for that? Did you pick it out? Do you feel some possession over it? Yeah, you do. And if something happens of it, you're like, nah, why me? No, that was mine. We're like those little birds on Finding Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. In fact, that's a little saying in our house. When we take possession of something in our house and we feel very possessive of it, mine, 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 mine. Yeah, we know what that feels like. We do not do well with this very thought of. How many of you wake up and go, oh, look at this house. It belongs to God. Thank you for letting me use this. None of us, probably. We feel this possessiveness of it. But everything, the Lord God made the world. Everything that is in it is the Lord's. Everything. We belong to God. Everything we have is the Lord's. And yet we feel very connected and stingy about it. In 1 Timothy, Paul gives this advice to us in chapter 6, starting with verse 6, and this is in 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with commitment, for we brought nothing into the world. We brought nothing into the world. You came out of your mother's womb. Did you have clothes on? No. Did you own anything? No. You came into the world with absolutely nothing. We brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. We have a friend in the Tyler area, he would always say, "When you bury me with all your money." And it says, his son says, "Sure, Dad, we'll write you a check." Yeah. We can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into the ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, children of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. If you're going to pursue anything, pursue the fruits of the Spirit. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you have called and for which you made. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Every day, we get a choice to live in the temporal or to live in the eternal. The temporary is where we usually hang our hat. That's why we get so angry and upset when we lose. And we grieve so heavy over loss, which is a natural human response. You know exactly how that church is feeling right now, many of you, and the devastation and the loss. They are worshiping at 11 o'clock in another church this morning. We want to keep them in our prayers as they spend their first Sunday of a long journey without a church building, and that they learn the same lesson we learned, that we are the church housed by the Spirit of God, which is the eternal. Every day to be mindful of the eternal blessings in which we live. We know what it is to even lose a loved one, right? But there's this eternal aspect to that where we ground our hope, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives life eternal. We don't like to talk about death, but this is temporary, folks. We live in the temporal. And the one thing that we will all share, we will hold different lives, but the one thing we will all share in common, every single one of us, no matter how long we live here, no matter what color we are, no matter what economic status we are, no matter what political stance we take, we will all die. It's temporary. That's the temporal truth of it all. But in the eternal, this is where we find hope. You see, in the temporal will rob us blind of hope. The temporal will make us forget. The temporal will throw us in a pit and forget about us and surround us by darkness. But it is in the eternal, it is in the kingdom of God that we need to hang our hat. It is where we need to live day in and day out, because it is where we find hope. It is where we find purpose of life. It is where we find the next breath to move when it is bad and we find that we have woken up into a day of loss. Because there is one thing that will never change, and that is the love of God. And Jesus says, why worry about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. And what he's saying there is, be content for today. Be content for today. Sit and just be content right now and breathe it in. The losses that you've experienced, what you may find that you need, the things that your eyes have seen that you want, what you may find is missing in your life that you always wanted, let them float away and just be in the presence of God. Your homework this week is for you to pray for our brothers and sisters who've lost their church home. Those who know exactly how this feels, let God reveal in your heart, how can we help them as a church body who's walked this walk with them? Is there anything that we can do for them? The second thing is to really think about where you hang your hat. Where are you living? Who have you surrendered to? Who is your master? What is this eternal struggle in your soul? Are you even aware of it? Who you surrender to? Is it of the world? The temporal? Are you striving in that? Struggling in that? Are you deeply aware of what's going on in the eternal? The kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. This week, be aware of seeking first the kingdom of God and looking for what God is showing you. And just be in it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the praise band gets back on,